4:06, Thursday afternoon. K-News Radio Afternoon continues. Welcome to it. I'm Paul Marshall, guest host. Sitting in till 6 o'clock, and then again tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll see what happens. We'll roll the dice and see if I don't crap out. It's FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation, online at knewsradio.com. This afternoon, we're talking about guns and the right to own guns. And it's funny because I guess with my stance on this, I have prided myself throughout my life as being able to see both sides of an argument. And I try to see both sides of an argument. One of my friends told me I might be a conservative. And I put something together a while back because this, I don't think this is a conservative versus liberal viewpoint. But I put something together a while back, right around the time we decided to invade Iraq. And I think the philosophy is sound, and I'm sure you've read it before in an email, but I want you to take a listen to something and think about it. Meant to be a joke and in jest, but the philosophy is sound.
Your world is a busy place.
No, that's the wrong one. I don't want to play that. I want to play this first.
The following undersigned hereby and unequivocally offer the following apology. Understanding and agreeing that heretofore and for all of perpetuity, Paul Marshall hereby apologizes to...
Everyone?
For offending...
Everybody.
On the topic of...
Well, everything I talk about. Jokes, you know?
This statement of sorrow hereby holds Mr. Marshall and his partners, family members, affiliate stations, associates, and acquaintances harmless and not liable for any and all moments of grief, including but not limited to the topic of
everything that comes out of my mouth,
and shall include all actions that may in any way cause repercussions of a negative nature to be bestowed by the entity that is the Paul Marshall Radio Program. We now return to the
thing I'll have to apologize for again tomorrow,
already in progress.
All right, with that in mind, this is what I actually meant to play.
And now an important statement from our beloved President of the United States of America, George W. Bush.
My fellow Americans, it has been brought to my attention that there's a new issue for America to deal with in this time of great upheaval, that which we on Capitol Hill have dubbed the resurgence of the tree-hugging hippie. It is important that Americans know how to deal with the tree-hugging hippie. With me to help demonstrate some tactics is your Vice President, Dick Cheney. The first step is to listen politely while this peacenik explains his or her views.
Peace, peace.
Strike up a conversation if necessary, and look very interested in their ideas.
Peace is good.
Yes, I see. They will probably use many arguments, from political to religious to humanitarian, to tell you how revenge is immoral, and that by attacking the people who did this to us, we will only bring on more violence.
Violence bad.
I see. Please, go on.
Peace, peace, peace.
In the middle, interested in their ideas.
Peace is good.
Peace. Yes, I see. They will probably use many arguments, from political to religious to humanitarian, to tell you how revenge is immoral, and that by attacking the people who did this to us, we will only bring on more.
Where you were born.
All right, it's not working. Point I'm trying to make, CDs are flawless. I apologize for the error. The reality is that... At some point, I am a peace-loving American. I do not want violence to be perpetrated upon anybody. That's not what owning a gun is about. Owning a gun is not an acceptance of violence. You've probably heard the phrase, to ensure the peace, you must prepare for war. Gun ownership doesn't encourage violence. If anything, it discourages violence. If the citizenry knew that any citizen could be armed at the time, they might rethink their potential for violence. I'm not saying I'm right on this. I'm not saying I'm wrong on this. I am inviting you to take part in the discussion, though. 760-416-8475, toll-free, 888-589-6397. Reason why is because, on the one hand, Riverside County Board of Supervisors decided that they're gonna raise rates for sheriff protection. So if you want to get the Sheriff's Department of Riverside County to provide law enforcement services, it's going to cost you more. The new rate schedule basically says that a deputy is going to cost you $117.30 per hour. Yeah, do an 8-hour shift, $1,000 a day. That's what it is now. It's going to go up to $121.97 4% jump. And in conjunction with that, in Sacramento, lawmakers are trying to restrict your right to open carry. And what open carry means is a law-abiding, responsible member of the citizenry is guaranteed the right to carry a weapon, a firearm, in open so that people can see it as long as it's, you know, it's unloaded. And a responsible, well-trained gun owner can load their weapon very quickly. And if you are a gun owner and you're not training yourself and you're not practicing, well, you're not doing yourself or anybody a good service. Any skill that you have, be it gun ownership, musical proficiency, cooking, drawing, driving, any skill, any mechanical, eye-hand coordination, physical activity has to be practiced so that it becomes effortless, flawless, and natural, instinctual. And that includes gun ownership. Now, I'm not saying that we should have armor-piercing bullets and that I need to have an AR-15 or an AK-47 in my house. I do have weapons in my house. I don't want to, but if I have to, I will. And in Sacramento today, Nancy Skinner, along with Lori Saldana, and a bunch of other misguided Americans, and I think they're uneducated. I really do, because I am not a conservative. I'm not a gun freak. But I do recognize that budget cuts have now made us unsafe in our community. Riverside County costs go up for sheriffs. Palm Springs is closing a police department, excuse me, the jail. They're closing the Palm Springs jail, making the Palm Springs law enforcement officers that would work at that jail, who may have been available if somebody in the community were at risk, those officers now have to go to Indio. How far is Indio? Half hour away. Uh-oh. You're in Palm Springs. You need to get a lawman to your house. Sorry. All the guys that would be available in case the regular duty officer is not available, they're in Indio right now working at that jail. Uh-oh. And the thing that really bothers me is you've got L.A. County Sheriff's Department officials who are buying into this. I don't understand where law enforcement thinks that the idea of an armed private citizen, law-abiding private citizen, is a bad thing. I have nothing but respect for the police department, but as I said before, I have found the police department are unreliable. That doesn't mean inefficient. That doesn't mean untrustworthy, or I think that they are in any way, shape, or form doing a poor job of protecting the citizenry. What I'm saying is General Custer proved a lesson. There is strength in numbers. And the numbers of police officers available to keep the increasing population safe is diminishing. And now we've got Sacramento saying, well, you're not allowed to carry, you're not going to be allowed to carry an unloaded weapon in the open range. Now, this is different from concealed carry. Concealed carry is not a right. Concealed carry, you have to go through a training process. I've gone through the process. I'm a very good shot. You have to go through that training and go through the process to earn the right, and some rights are not guaranteed, although the right to bear arms is supposed to be guaranteed. With that right comes the responsibility of knowing what you're doing, not allowing your children to go near the weapon. You can't do that. It's bad news. But responsible gun owners make the community safer. Even if they, and I'm going to tell you now, and I hope law enforcement isn't listening and doesn't tag me on my way home tonight, but if you make my guns illegal, I'm not giving up my guns. There is no way. And not because I'm an NRA member, because I'm not an NRA member. I'm not a big gun advocate, but I am a save my family advocate. And I am absolutely going to make sure that my family is safe. And I've heard this phrase said before, and I couldn't agree more. Better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6. No jury in their right mind, no responsible American would ever convict another responsible American for killing a human being in their home as a last resort to save their family. Nobody would ever do that. If they do, then the system doesn't work. I love the police. I think the police do a thankless job. I would hope that if I had to call the police would be at my home quickly to make sure I'm safe. But in the event that they're not, and somebody comes through the window, and they have a weapon, and they have the means, and the desire, and the intent to kill or cause bodily harm to my family, goodbye. Call an ambulance. Bring a Ziploc. You're done. Tom in Morongo Valley, hang in there. We'll get to you in just a second. It's KNews, FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Thursday afternoon.
420.
Stop it. It was a couple of days ago. It's KNews Afternoons. I'm Paul Marshall. FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140 and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Today, talking about guns. Guns and safety and responsibility and all of the things that come with it. And I made a point a couple of seconds ago about, and it was a very intense point, about if you come into my home and you mean to do me bodily harm, whether it's legal or not, I am going to shoot you. I don't care if the gun is legal or not. Of course, I am a legal, responsible, licensed, trained, proficient gun owner. I hope to never have to use those skills ever, 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 ever. I never, ever want to use those skills. I never want, it's a skill. Everyone goes, well, then why would you take the training? Why would you go through that? Because I would rather have the skill and never use it than regret the day I didn't have it and needed it. And with budget cuts being what they are, and I've got a couple of update stories, Jesus. This is and there's always one guy that's the exception to the rule, and this sucks. And I'll tell you the story in just a second, but first, got to get to Tom Morongo Valley. Tom, how are you, man?
Good, yourself?
I am well.
Two things that make people not do what they shouldn't do is common sense and fear. Now, the normal person has common sense. The thief or the murderer doesn't have common sense. They have to really respond to fear.
Sure.
So we live in Morongo, and I said to the sheriff when we were up there, you know, what kind of crime do we have up here? Oh, domestic violence, little peddly, you know, misdemeanor things, and with no burglaries or anything. And we really don't have any up there. I said, why? He said, because most people know when they come up to the houses, because Morongo is real rural, is most people own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that you take that, you know, like I said, where are you going to go? Are you going to go to the house without the gun, or are you going to go to the house with the gun? So
no,
when you start taking away the fear, what, you know, that's what bad people inspire to is just fear. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to deter them from doing anything. You know, you take that away, then what do we have? We have lawlessness.
Exactly. And a criminal is not looking for a challenge. They're looking for an easy mark.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's just like before I said, you walk into a bank, in a modern bank, and you know a guy now has a gun strapped to his side, the bank robber is going to go, I'm going to pick another bank.
Yeah,
you know, it's like when you went to school, you talked about summer school. Fear. No summer school. Well, put the fear of God in the kid. Hey, if you fail, you go back. There is
right.
no second chance. And
right.
we don't have that in our world anymore. There is no fear for the bad people. Only fear for the good people.
And you're right, and I appreciate the call, Tom. And that's the thing. I made the point a little bit earlier, and I want to reiterate that point because I think it bears repeating over and over and over again. Responsible, law-abiding citizens who are trained and licensed to own firearms, and if you own a firearm, it is your responsibility to know how to use it, whether it's a shotgun, whether it's a pistol, whether it's a semi-automatic or an automatic, well, fully automatic weapons you're not supposed to have. But if you have an AR-15 or a single-shot M16 or whatever it is that you're using, you owe it to yourself. It is your duty. Duty. It's your duty to learn how to use it proficiently. That's your responsibility. That comes with it. Because for every one person that's owning a gun, that's irresponsible with it and untrained properly and discharges it in an irresponsible manner, like going out into the yard and shooting into the woods, knowing that there's a house nearby that could, you know what I mean? Here's a great one. And I'm sure you've heard this. New Year's Eve. What do we get every New Year's Eve? Please don't point your weapons into the sky and shoot. Happens big down across the border, doesn't it? Happens a lot in Texas, happens a lot in Arizona and Nevada, and yeah, here in California it does too. A lot of people go out and Happy New Year, and empty a clip into the sky. Well, guess what? You're financially responsible and legally responsible for every bullet that comes out of your weapon. Don't be stupid. Don't act the fool. If you're going to own a weapon, you absolutely have the responsibility to use it as a last resort defense. I want you to hear that phrase again. Last resort defense. No responsible gun owner will ever draw their weapon in an aggressive manner. Guns are a self-defense weapon, not an aggression weapon. That's what they should be for. Now, granted, he who shoots first wins. I get that. But gun owners know this. There is a set of protocol that have to be met. There's a certain, you know, there's a group of questions, just like with everything you do. Like when those telemarketers call your house and they say, "Good evening, sir, may I say this?" And if the person says A, you respond this way. If the person says B, you respond this way. And so be it. There's a checklist that they have to go down. Well, as a responsible gun owner, there is a checklist that you have to go through. There is a set of circumstances that must be satisfied before you are legally allowed to use deadly force. And responsible gun owners not only know this, they understand it, they go through the checklist, and as a last resort, the decision to take a human life is the absolute most important decision a human being can take, and it's not to be taken lightly. And when Sacramento says that responsible citizens put the public at risk by carrying an unloaded weapon on their hip in the open, it's a statement born of ignorance. I would contend that it is just the opposite. If you walk into your local store of choice and you see somebody standing at the counter and they have a holstered weapon on their hip, first of all, you can know one thing. They're a law-abiding citizen because no criminal holds their gun out in the open. So open carry, if anything, is one of the biggest deterrents that the public citizenry can display. If you see that, you know that that person is a responsible, law-abiding citizen. And if anything, you are safer in the environment, in the surrounding of a person with a holstered, unloaded weapon than you are anywhere else. Know that right now. The idea that lawmakers think that people walking around with unloaded guns in their hips creates a public safety nuisance is foolish. A, if the gun is unloaded, there's no chance for accidental discharge. None whatsoever. And especially with the safety precautions that many gun manufacturers use right now. I happen to carry a revolver. My revolver will only fire if I squeeze the trigger. There is no chance of accidental discharge of my gun. A lot of the automatic weapons now, they call them autoloaders. A lot of those weapons, you have to have your hand squeezed around the trigger and an extra safety on the grip of the gun before the gun will fire. You can take a Glock pistol and throw it against the wall, bounce it off the ground, and it will not discharge because you have to squeeze the trigger to a point that releases a series of safeties that allows the firing pin to strike the bullet. So the idea of accidental discharge of weapons, especially unloaded weapons, is just stupid. I don't know why in Sacramento they're thinking about this. And especially when we're surrounded by states that are now loosening restrictions. Nevada has some of the most loose gun laws in America. And now so does Arizona. Arizona has now signed into legislation that you can carry a gun, concealed carry, without even getting a permit. But here in California, guns are bad. Guns are not bad. People are bad. Bad people with guns are bad. Good people with guns are good, and they're safe, and your neighborhood is safe because they have them. And I'm not saying that we should all have a Wild West mentality where we should all have a gun strapped to our thigh. Guns are not for everybody. I know people that have no business touching a gun. They know they have no business touching a gun. Paul in Indio, welcome to K News Radio.
Well, I think you make a lot of sense, and I certainly agree with just about everything you say.
Okay.
I think it's more about the left or the anti-gun people just don't respect the rights. They want to take rights away. And, you know, I think if you really, and maybe you think I'm a little off base, but if you really want to save people's lives, if you're really concerned about that, there's 60 to 80,000 traffic deaths every year in this country. 85% of them are caused by head injuries. Why don't they just save a bunch of lives and make us all wear helmets? I mean, if they're really interested in saving lives.
I don't know, and you raise a very valid point. There are
I think the gun issue is so far down the list. But the biggest thing is my mother, or they just had in the national news yesterday in Iowa, an 89-year-old woman who said she loves to live independently had her front door kicked in.
No, that was a 22?
She fired off 2-3 rounds, and the invader ran away.
Right, no, you're right.
And so what about her right to live an independent life and not be killed or maimed by an intruder and having the right to protect herself? And that's the part that I think that the left really forgets about is what about our rights?
And, you know, the funny thing is this becomes a left versus right issue, and I am not a right-wing conservative by any stretch of the imagination. I'm as liberal as they come. I'm an independent thinker. On some issues, I think, you know, let them get freedom, individual freedom. Stay out of my life. Let me do what I want to do. On the other hand, if I don't agree with something, I choose not to participate, except for taxes. Everybody's got to pay their fair share. But we're at a point now where, you know, if we don't agree with something, we tell them they can't have it. And what did we talk about the other day with 420? Prohibition doesn't work. Restricting access to guns, a right allegedly guaranteed to us by the Second Amendment, is a form of prohibition. It's going to fail every time. Sacramento's way off base in this one. We'll continue. 760-416-8475. It's KNews. 94.3, the Deseret's News Talk Superstation. .35 Thursday afternoon. KNews afternoon. Paul Marshall, guest hosting, till 6 o'clock. And then Bulldog Bill Feingold will take you up till 7, till 10 o'clock. I keep saying till 7. He doesn't start till almost 7. We're talking about this afternoon a couple different things. You know, the safety of our neighborhoods. Right now, budget cuts have caused municipalities, especially here in Palm Springs, to cut some law enforcement. I'm going to give you an update on that. I want to give you a phone number first if you want to call in. 760-416-8475. Toll free, 888-589-6397. Now, Here's what's happening. Up in Sacramento, they've decided to try and push forward legislation that would eliminate the open carry law. And what that means is if you are a responsible, legal, registered, law-abiding citizen who happens to own a gun and you have your gun unloaded and on your hip in a holster, currently you are allowed to walk around in public that way. And that's a right that Second Amendment advocates would say, yes, absolutely, that is the right. That's the right of all law-abiding citizens to do that. Well, in Sacramento, they're trying to take that right away. Now, I am not a gun freak, and I advocate responsible gun ownership, which takes me to this story in Thermal. 12-year-old boy arrested today, suspicion of bringing a gun and ammunition to a Thermal elementary school. Deputies responded at 10:54 a.m. to a report of a person with a gun at Westside Elementary. Deputy Herlinda Valenzuela of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department says the boy lives in Coachella. He was found in possession of a large semi-automatic handgun and ammunition. The gun was not loaded. Valenzuela says, and I quote, it appears no one was in any danger at any time. No one was in any danger at any time. A 12-year-old boy with a semi-automatic handgun unloaded, and the police have determined, even though he's 12, has no business holding a gun, no one was in any danger at any time. This gun wasn't even holstered and on the hip. This wasn't a responsible gun owner. This was a kid who had no business holding a gun. And the police said there was no danger. In Sacramento, they say that a law-abiding citizen carrying a gun unloaded and holstered creates a public safety issue. And the reason being is that, well, a person could load a gun and shoot it at any time very quickly. Exactly. That's what you're supposed to do in a moment of danger and last resort. That's what a gun is for. The kid's parents have been notified. 12 years old, booked into Indio Juvenile Hall, and we got a situation there. The important part is that responsible gun ownership is not a right. The right to bear arms is a right, but responsible gun ownership is not a right. It's a responsibility, and you have to go through training. And with that in mind, I welcome Bob in Morongo Valley, who is actually with the Desert High Desert Rod and Gun Club. Bob, welcome to KNews Radio.
Yeah. Enjoy your show very
Thank
much
you.
Today.
Thank you.
Want to remind our listeners that in San Bernardino County, it is and has been unlawful for many, many years now just to go out and shoot in the desert anywhere.
Sure.
Can't do that anymore. So in Morongo Valley, for those folks that are familiar with the area, as you're driving through Morongo Valley on 29 Palms Highway, just as you start up the grade to Yucca Valley, off to the left-hand side, is the High Desert Rod and Gun Club that is open to the general public on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Nice plug.
Yeah, 9 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. For non-members, it costs you $8 to come out and shoot all day. And for we get a lot of people up there that own guns, or somebody gave them a gun, and they come out, and we're more than happy to show them how to shoot it, how to, you know, go through the motions,
right,
how to load it, the safety issues. And we end up with an awful lot of families up there that that come up and shoot together and learn how to handle guns as a family.
And, you know, far be it for me to try and make this a family values issue, but you know what? If I was taught how to fire a weapon by my grandfather, and it is some of the best time I ever spent with my grandfather. My grandfather taught me, and it was in the state of New Hampshire, which is as gun crazy as any state in the United States, and we were taught, don't go in the gun room unless grandpa's with you or somebody, an adult, is with you. And if you dared touch the knob on that door, you were threatened with having your arm broken off at the elbow and beaten with the bloody end of it. And we respected that authority. We respected that guns are not toys, all right? But then my grandfather took us out, and yes, it was family bonding time. I wasn't playing Atari. That shows you how old I am. I wasn't playing video games. I wasn't watching wrestling. I wasn't doing something else. I was spending quality time with my grandfather and learning something that generations of Americans have been learning since the day we stepped foot and stole this country from the Indians.
Yeah.
I mean,
growing up, there were always two rifles and a shotgun on a gun rack hanging above the fireplace.
And they were loaded, weren't they?
Two of them were.
Absolutely. And you never touched them, right?
You didn't touch them.
That's the responsibility.
They were there, and everybody knew they were there, and there was never an issue.
And I believe that's the way it should be. I believe responsible gun owners and responsible American citizens understand that a gun is a weapon of destruction. It's a tool of destruction. It's a tool of injury, and it causes grievous bodily harm. We all understand that. And responsible American citizens should have the right to carry that gun. We're supposed to be guaranteed that right. And if you can't carry an open carry a gun somewhere, what's the point of having one? What, we can only have a gun in our house? That's not what the Second Amendment says.
No.
What if we're all, and this is such a huge stretch, but this is really the spirit of the Second Amendment. Let's say right now, Obama decides to declare martial law in the United States of America. And you're and your family are in some place out in the desert or whatever, and you don't have your guns with you. And the race is on to get to your house. It's the U.S. government versus you to get to your guns to disarm the citizenry. The open carry law, the open carry rule, the Second Amendment, was set up in case the government decided they were going to shut down the United States and take over the Americans' freedom, take freedom from us, so that we could have a weapon at our ready in order to defend ourselves. Guns are for defense, not aggression. We've got to stop that mindset that thinks that guns, owning guns, causes an unsafe society. It doesn't. And again, I'm not a right-wing gun nut, and I'm coming off as if I am. The reality is, I want peace. I want peace. I would love it if we could get up tomorrow and the birds would sing and there was no more war and famine and we weren't fighting and nobody would dare enter my home and try and steal what is mine because they don't have what is there. I wish that could be the case. I think we all do. I don't think anybody ever wants to squeeze off a shot. Cops don't want to squeeze off a shot.
That's not the real world.
Exactly. And taking away the rights of responsible Americans, and again, that quote is always used, if we outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. Criminals already have guns and don't care about the laws that are already on the books. I'm not saying we should take all the laws off the books. I'm saying we should go through the process, and legal, responsible, law-abiding citizens should still have the right to have guns. I appreciate you giving me a call. I'm guessing this is good because now I've got a gun advocate, somebody that works for a Rod and Gun Club, the High Desert Rod and Gun Club. You should look those guys up and check it out. I completely and wholeheartedly advocate gun education. I haven't heard from a member of law enforcement until now. JR in Palm Springs, a retired police officer, a peace officer, has an opinion, and I welcome you to KNews Radio. How are you, JR?
Oh, fine. Thank you very much for taking my call. I want to make it clear I'm retired out of state, not a California peace officer.
All right.
But to me, it's a no-brainer that unless you've got a philosophical problem or something, you always have a weapon at home for protection of your home and your family.
Right.
Moving on to the open carry. To me, open carrying an unloaded weapon doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, no, because you know if you're trained, if you have an autoloader, how quickly can you get, and you've seen this and you watch any of the sportsman shows or anything like that, you are taught to draw your weapon from the holster and be able to put a clip in it very quickly. That's part of your gun training. So I can understand the compromise of having an unloaded weapon and having a speed loader in a belt buckle or in a case on your hip. And you know this, if you're a trained officer, you know you remove your weapon, you load it, you can load it quickly, just like a reload.
Oh, so absolutely.
I understand absolutely. That compromise, and I'm willing to afford that compromise because I think that part of the responsibility of gun ownership is to know how to use the tool, and loading a weapon quickly is an essential part of owning a gun.
Okay, well, given that, brings me to my third point is, to me, the concealed weapon carry, the open concealed weapon carry is the way to go, like 38 or so other states have done.
Sure.
Where it's just not that difficult to get a CCW permit if you're a law-abiding citizen. The sheriff has to issue it.
Right.
This thing of giving the discretion to the sheriffs and making it a political deal like California does, that just doesn't work, in
my
opinion.
But I do agree with the restrictions that are placed upon it. If you go through the training class, the schooling and the training, and I highly advocate that you get trained, don't just go buy a gun. That's just stupid. That's like buying a standard transmission car and not knowing how to drive it. You're going to screw something up. You're going to break things. You could possibly get hurt and dead. I think you should absolutely be trained. If you meet those requirements, even though they have to issue the concealed carry, I do agree with having some, not restrictions, but at least show that you've made the effort to qualify.
Absolutely.
I believe in that, 100%.
Now, what we noticed was a lot of people from California getting the out-of-state permits from Utah.
For reciprocity?
Yeah, because Utah is accepted. The Utah permit is accepted in, I think, the highest number of states.
I got mine in Tennessee, and I at the time, I think there were 17 states that recognized it.
Well, Utah's even, it's up to 30 or 35 or so. The problem is it's not good in your home state. So unless
right.
you travel or something, I don't know how much value it is. But we did see quite a few Californians getting those Utah or Nevada or even Texas permits where I was from.
Yeah, with reciprocity, I think there needs to be a national reciprocity. Let's face it. This whole idea, and again, this brings us back to states' rights versus federal rights. If states enact laws that are superseded by federal laws, then what good is having state law?
Well, I agree with you. I'm a big states' rightist, but on the other hand, I would definitely support a federal law that just made these permits valid in all 50 states.
Well, I think it should be. I mean, if you're going, when you apply for a permit, and you know this because having been a peace officer, when you apply for your gun permit, what happens? They fingerprint you and they run you through the FBI database. That's a national database. So you're already nationally cleared.
Correct.
So if you're already nationally cleared, there's no excuse for not having, other than having other than the administrative costs of going and reapplying for a license and being able to nickel and dime Americans to get more money. And
well,
that's really the only reason why there's no universal. Your driver's license is recognized across the board.
Sure is. And you know that those of us like retired law enforcement officers, as long as we qualify annually, we can carry in all 50 states now. So we have that.
And again, thank you, by the way, for being a police officer and taking the oath to keep people that you don't even know safe. That's one of the things that I need to make very clear. When I say that the police department is unreliable, I don't mean that they're inefficient. What I'm saying is you guys just have such a heavy workload. You're busy, I hate to say it, you're busy prosecuting marijuana drug offenses and stupid traffic offenses and things that really should be handled by municipal constables as opposed to fully licensed police officers. That sometimes if you're on a traffic stop somewhere and you're in the middle of something or you're involved in a marijuana bust busting some kid who's got a bag of pot and there's a murder going on in your town and you can't get to it and that person dies, it's only a matter of time before some citizen and a scumbag defense attorney decides to hold the city and the municipality liable for the death of a private citizen. I think that it's only a matter of time before that happens. And I appreciate, and I'm sorry that we lost you, I appreciate that a police officer takes that oath. That's an incredible show of strength, and that deserves respect. It's K News, 94.3 FM, AM 970, 1140, 1250, the Deserts News Talk Superstation. Coming up on 5 o'clock, K-News Afternoons continues. Your guest host, Paul Marshall, till 6. Bulldog Bill Feingold takes you up till 10. In between now and then, we will continue to discuss things that go boom in the night, like guns. And why, in Sacramento, they have chosen to try and push forward legislation to stop responsible law-abiding citizens from carrying guns openly in the public, as long as they're unlicensed and unloaded and holstered. And Mike and LaQuinta has been holding for a while. I appreciate your patience, man. Welcome to K-News.
Thanks, Paul. I learned a long time ago, if you're really serious about protecting your home, a 12-gauge shotgun, 18-inch barrel, mm-hmm. called a riot gun.
I have one.
Is the best thing you can have because you don't have to aim. You just point it, and that gets the job done. But, you know, a lot of the comments I've heard today on your show, it's kind of like bar talk, you know, talking about body bags, and if somebody threatened my family, I'd blow them away.
Right.
And I'm not sure, unless you have a gun in your hand, and there's another human being standing in front of you, if you can really honestly say that, because, you know, shooting a squirrel or going hunting with your dad is different than pointing a weapon at another human being that's standing a few feet away from you. A lot of people in combat situations freeze up when they're being fired at. Mm-hmm. Because it's a whole different ball game when you have another human, you know, standing, looking you in the eye, and you've got a gun in your hand. So it's easy to say, you know, I'd blow them away, or they'd have to take them out in a zipper bag, or, you know,
have you been shot at?
Be tried by 12 and carried by 6 and all that. But it's, you know, it's not as easy as you make it sound.
Mike, have you been shot at?
Unfortunately, I have, yeah.
So have I.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very, very violent neighborhood in an area called South Boston, Massachusetts, which is not a fun
Southie,
place to
be.
Yeah,
I'm
from South.
What you're talking about.
That's where I'm from, guy. That's where I grew up. And it's a very, very, very tough neighborhood.
Sure is.
And I was in an area called Lower Mills, Massachusetts, which is in an area called Dorchester,
mm-hmm.
as a child. And we were playing wiffle ball. And we're playing wiffle ball in the and you know what a wiffle ball is, you know, a little
of course,
wiffle ball baseball. We're playing in the tennis courts in the inner city. And a group, and it's unfortunate that this is the way it was, a group of black kids, African Americans, whatever you want to call them, were walking, minding their own business in the neighborhood. Another group of teenagers that were standing outside the corner of the local drugstore decided to harass these black kids who were minding their own business. As a result, some words were exchanged, a chase ensued, and one of the black kids turned around and pulled, it really doesn't matter which of the people, one of the kids turned around, pulled a gun, and started firing down the street. Now here we are, kids playing wiffle ball, caught in the crossfire of something that's none of our own making. And I can tell you, anybody that has ever been shot at, it changes your life completely.
Couldn't agree with you more.
It changes your perspective. So when I make the statement that if you come through my house and intend to do my wife or my family bodily harm, that I would not hesitate to shoot, it's because I've been shot at. I felt that fear, and I know what it feels like, and I would not hesitate. And that's me. And you're right, most Americans, most human beings, don't have what it takes to shoot another human being. And you know what? Thank your deity of choice for that, because if that were the case, then we would have very little regard for human life, and there would be anarchy, and we would have to have martial law, because people, and we already do it, we've already seen it, people shoot people for sneakers.
Well, you also hear the statistic, whether it's an old wives' tale or whether it's true or not, that, you know, more people are shot with their own weapons than shoot intruders. Now, whether
sure.
like I said, whether that's an old wives' tale or not, but that's the one that's always thrown out. A lot of people are disarmed and shot with their own weapons than actually you know, shoot someone or get rid of an intruder. So
I don't think the intense rhetoric, though. I don't think the intensity of the speech should be understated. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Is you if you make that decision to take somebody else's life, it is not something you make lightly, and you cannot hesitate, because if you do, then you run the risk of it's you or him, and then it's you.
I guess the question would be how many people, though, do hesitate, and because of that hesitation or because of that lack of commitment, have that weapon taken and used against them and their families.
Well, you know what? Again, that's a matter of, this is, you know, we overstate our animal intelligence. Sometimes a survival instinct kicks in, and if it's you or me and there's one gun on the floor, I'm going to have to do whatever I can to get it so that you don't. And it's the unfortunate part is you're right. There are people who do hesitate, and that's why I advocate training, going and training and going and knowing that this is an immense responsibility. It's the biggest responsibility you can take as a human being.
And continued training, not only of yourself, but of your wife and your children of age.
Right.
And like one of your callers said, training in all kinds of scenarios, if you can, night training, loading, unloading, like you said, how to take a gun apart, you know, in the dark and put it back together again.
Sure.
It's not like driving a car where you take a class and then you just get in the car and drive for the rest of your life. You have to continue that kind of training for all kinds of scenarios, so.
No, and it's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. And I don't think that lawmakers in Sacramento who may or may not, you know, most of the people that institute policies are not gun owners. These are people who have never fired a weapon or don't own guns, and they think that they know what's right for other Americans, and I appreciate the call. I don't think that non-gun owners or the unschooled or untrained have the right to tell people who are guaranteed the right under the Second Amendment whether or not they should or shouldn't own weaponry. It's KNews, FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation.